Afrikaners stand in line for Trump's refugee offer. Pretoria, the lines creasing Wilhelm Snyman's sun-scorched face make him look much older than 46. It's also the stress of the past 6 years that has made me look like an OU top pie, he said near the United States Embassy in Pretoria. Snyman lost his job in the computer industry in 2019 and said he's been unable to find permanent work since then. So one day the boss called me in and told me he had to retrench me and some other white guys. He had to replace us with black employees because of the government's affirmative action policies, he told the Epoch Times. Fortunately, my wife still has a job, but it's humiliating as a man to sit at home every day doing nothing, and just keeping busy with an odd job here and there. Groups of Afrikaners have been gathering regularly at the embassy since President Donald Trump signed an executive order on February 7. It cut American aid to South Africa, accusing President Cyril Ramaphosa's government of race-based discrimination, including racially discriminatory property confiscation and a shocking disregard of its citizens' rights. Trump also suggested the United States should help resettle Afrikaners, the descendants of mainly Dutch, French, and German settlers who came to South Africa in the 1600s. His order said his administration would promote the resettlement of Afrikaner refugees for those who are victims of unjust racial discrimination. Snyman said, "I'll do what it takes to get to America, to build a new life for my family. There, we won't be despised because we're white." Trump said policies in South Africa are designed to dismantle equal opportunity in employment, education, and business, and alleged that hateful rhetoric and government actions fueling disproportionate violence against racially disfavored landowners. Ramaphosa responded that the government's policies are designed to redress the imbalances of South Africa's apartheid past, when white people were favored in all sectors of society. He denied that white residents are being targeted in a campaign of racial violence. Ramaphosa said that white South Africans remain the most privileged citizens in the country. "That is true," said Herman Pretorius, spokesperson for the Institute of Race Relations, a research group studying shifts in South African society. But what Ramaphosa said doesn't mean that hundreds of thousands of white people aren't poor and unemployed. "I can take you right now to squatter camps where the inhabitants are almost exclusively white." Pretorius said many white residents blame the affirmative action and black economic empowerment policies of Ramaphosa's African National Congress, the biggest party in a coalition government, for feeling marginalized and unwanted in South Africa. "These are the Afrikaners who will try to get to America courtesy of Mr. Trump's order," he said. Multiple groups lobbying for Afrikaner rights thanked the U.S. leader for his offer, but said most Afrikaners would remain in South Africa because they're dedicated to building the country, despite its many problems. Again, the headlines flashed around the world: "South Africa's Afrikaners turned down Trump's refugee offer," said one. "No thanks, white South Africans turned down Trump's immigration offer," read another. However, at the U.S. Embassy, Suzette Stein, 27, said that so-called Afrikaner groups don't have a right to speak for the nation's 4.5 million Afrikaners. "If they are happy in a country where you are made to feel terrible just because you are white, and you cannot find a job because you are white, and you cannot sleep because you worry if criminals are going to break into your home and rape and kill you, then so be it," she told the Epoch Times. "I am sorry, but there is nothing for me to build in South Africa, and if I can go to America thanks to President Trump, I will." Her friend interrupted with a shout, "We are Trump's Afrikaners," sending ripples of amusement through the crowd. Callie Creel, the CEO of one of the Afrikaner lobby groups, AfriForum, told the Epoch Times his organization had so far received almost 30,000 inquiries from Afrikaners indicating interest in claiming refugee status in the United States. Gary Eisenberg, one of South Africa's top immigration attorneys, told the Epoch Times that won't be a simple process and Trump's invitation isn't as open as it sounds. "There are many, many logistical hurdles," he told the Epoch Times. Trump's order tasks Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem with formulating a plan to facilitate the resettlement of Afrikaners through the United States Refugee Admissions Program. But another executive order from Trump suspended the program on January 20, Eisenberg said. USRAP is the very route that Afrikaner refugees would need to follow, but it's gone, he said. Its suspension means there's now an indefinite ban on admission of refugees. Are the US authorities going to circumvent this ban just for white Afrikaners? There's no sign of that happening. American immigration lawyer Karen Lee Pollock said if Trump reinstates the refugee program, the plan involving Afrikaners would still be complicated. There are many details that need to be explained, including what the definition of an Afrikaner is, she told the Epoch Times. Pollock, who is based in Dallas and experienced in assisting people claiming refuge and asylum in America, said it usually takes 18 to 24 months for that process to unfold. She said the norm was for applicants to confirm status as a refugee by receiving a referral letter from the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. Following that, an applicant would need to secure an interview with a refugee officer from the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. The would-be refugee would have to make a very compelling case about why they're applying for refugee status. This means hard evidence that their lives are in danger, and would continue to be in danger, if they stayed in South Africa, Pollock said. Both Snyman and Stein, joined by a chorus of Afrikaners in the Pretoria heat, said this won't be a problem. When I used to drive a nice Mercedes, I was hijacked, and I still have all the paperwork concerning that case, stated Snyman. Stein said, "This is South Africa. We live in fear of our lives every day. Go to any South African and they'll tell you a story of how crime has affected them. Surely that's enough to get refugee status." South Africa has among the highest rates of violent crime in the world, with murder, rape, and armed robbery particularly prevalent. Pollock said it's important to note that should the USCIS grant Afrikaners refugee status based on claims of past persecution or fears of future persecution in South Africa, they can jeopardize their immigration status in the United States by traveling back to South Africa. The Afrikaners gathered outside the American embassy in Pretoria said they're willing to say goodbye to the country of their birth, and to friends and family. Ever heard of computers and Zoom? And WhatsApp, said a young man clad in tattered black jeans and a torn baseball cap. Elmarie Viljoen, 33, said, South Africa just doesn't feel like home anymore. It is so ironic that a leader in a country so far away acknowledges our struggles, when we are invisible to the leaders right here in our backyard, Viljoen said. Snyman echoed the sentiment. If I get out, I'll never come back. The Star-Spangled Banner is a lekker tune, he said.